You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yeah, welcome along to the FWA podcast. Every week we get one of the best football writers in the business to have a chat with us about the burning issues and look forward to the weekend's Premier League matches. This week's no different. Pleased to say that Paul McCarthy's with us today to have a look forward. Paul, it's been a while since we've had you on the podcast.
Yeah.
One of the founding members of the podcast, in fact.
Yeah, I think I probably did the first one, actually, but a couple of seasons before last. It's good to have a variety of people on, Lee, I think.
Yeah, and we certainly have had some great people on. Let's have a look at this relegation picture, shall we, Paul?
Yeah.
Because it's fascinating. The top four is pretty much done. There could be a bit of to-ing and fro-ing between Man City and Arsenal as to who finishes second and third, but they both qualify for the Champions League outright. It looks like Man United have got that fourth place sewn up now. But
yeah.
that bottom of the table, going from 14th, Aston Villa down to Burnley.
Yeah, anybody from 35 points down, Villa on 35 points down, down to bottom with Burnley on 26. I mean, it really. I thought Aston Villa might have been safe a couple of weeks ago. I thought Leicester were down, and then you get four wins out of five. It's just an astonishing turnaround at Leicester. But I mean, there's some huge games this weekend.
If you have a look at the odds, I mean, from a betting point of view, Burnley and QPR are gone. They're both 100 to 1 on to be relegated. You'd agree with that, I guess, would you? It's too much to ask for now.
You look at Burnley. They've got to. There's an 8-point gap between themselves and Hull. You can't see that. You've got to get three wins. And basically hope that nobody else around them picks up any points, and that's not going to happen for Burnley, I'm afraid.
No.
Which is a shame, really, because I thought at the start of the season, out of all the three promoted teams, I thought Burnley had enough about them to get out. Obviously, Danny Ings hasn't scored the amount of goals that we thought he had. He's been attracting a lot of attention, and perhaps that has put him off a little bit this season, and Sam Vokes has not been fit basically all season. So the two guys who helped them out of the championship, one has been missing completely, one's been not scoring, and they've just found goals really, really tough to come by.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what costs you. Let's move up the table then, and the betting as well. Sunderland are the next in the betting at 4-6, and next in the table as well on 18th, 33 points. The big difference for them, of course, is that they've got a game in hand on the rest of the clubs, although it is against Arsenal technically, so at the Emirates. But they've got Everton this weekend, away at Goodison, which is a tricky one. The game that they've really got to win, you would say, is the home game against Leicester. And if they can pick up a point from any of the other three, Everton away, Arsenal away and Chelsea away, then that's basically what they've got to do, because that would lift them up to 37 points, and you think that would be enough.
Yeah, well, I think that makes Saturday's game and lunchtime kickoff even more important, because I don't see them getting anything against Arsenal or Chelsea. So if they get, as you say, if they get that point that they need at Goodison at lunchtime on Saturday, then yeah, that sets it up for an astonishingly tight finish. Although, looking at Leicester at home to Southampton at the weekend, Southampton have gone off the boil a little bit. Although, you have to say, given who they lost in the summer, to finish where they're going to finish has been a huge success for Ronald Koeman. But you just sense that Leicester have got something. I think they were very fortunate off the back of getting beaten by Chelsea to come up against the most toothless team in the league at the moment on form in Newcastle. That got them back on track. But I just think that, I just think at home as well, they've got something, Leicester. And I think some of them actually have to beat Everton away on Saturday to even think about safety.
Yeah, which is going somewhere. Before that Man United game, I looked at the Everton defensive record, and they conceded 11 goals in the first three games and 7 since. You know, so you know those. I think they lost 5-3 to Chelsea, didn't they? I think, and conceded two against Arsenal, and they defended
very well against Manchester United.
Tough for Sunderland. Next in the betting, Hull City 7-2 to be relegated this season. Hull are only a point above Sunderland as well, so people might be attracted by those odds if they can make an argument for Sunderland. Hull's games are at home to Burnley this Saturday, away at Tottenham, and at home to Manchester United. It's pretty simple what they need to do, and that's win that home game, Paul.
Yeah, if they beat Burnley, I think they're just about out of it. I mean, I think at this stage of the season, the permutations are such that you could never, you'd be foolish to even try and guarantee that, or even say, you know, this is a sure thing. But I like the look of Hull. I think they've got something about them. I think Steve Bruce has got something in him. He's a fighter. He kind of instills that kind of mentality into his players. I think Hull will do enough to get out of it.
And the fact that their goal difference is -15 compared to -22 for Sunderland, -24 for Newcastle, that's an extra point, isn't it?
That's easily an extra point, absolutely. Mm.
Same for Leicester, -15 goal difference, 34 points, exactly the same as Hull City. We mentioned them already. What a remarkable run they've been on. It's interesting how this good run at the end and at the start have kind of bookended their season.
Yeah.
Now they've got Southampton at home, who some are saying maybe have done all their best work this season.
Yeah,
they've got Sunderland away and QPR at home. I mean, perfect running, really. They should pick up another 3 points from those three games, shouldn't they?
I think they'll get 3 points at the weekend. I think Southampton are, to coin a phrase, on the beach. And I think Leicester are hungry and are... and you know, I actually personally really like Nigel Pearson.
Yeah, me too.
Always, I've always got on very, very well with him. I can understand why he rubs people up the wrong way. I don't think he's carried himself particularly well, but what it has done, it has fostered, and then whether it was his intention or not, it has fostered that kind of siege mentality at the King Power Stadium. And I think, you know, they played very well in the first half against Chelsea. I think Chelsea's class saw them through in that game, but I think at home Leicester have got something really, really vibrant about them. You know, you mentioned the start of the season and the win over Manchester United, which, you know, kind of brought them to everybody's attention, and everybody thought, oh well, you know, if they can do that against United, then this Premier League lark is going to be a stroll in the park. It hasn't been, but the signs that they had there and the signs that they are now, they're showing now, are exactly the same. They're ambitious. They're willing to go for it. They're very good at set pieces. You only have to see the fact that, you know, Wes Morgan is scoring goals from set pieces, so they're happy to throw people forward. And I think if they do get sucked back into it, Leicester, it won't be for the want of Nigel Pearson and the team's ambition.
No, and you know, if you're going to have a rant, then calling someone an ostrich in the middle of it is always a good thing in my book.
I think the journalist in question, Ian Baker, he had enough run-ins with Billy Davis at Nottingham Forest to be able to look after himself.
Yes, it does.
And I think a lot of the pontificating that has come out subsequently to that has been a bit sort of, you know, people standing up to defend the great name of journalism. I don't think journalism needs people to defend it. It gives it out, it takes it, and reporters give it out and they take it and they get on with their lives.
Well said. Leicester are actually a bigger price than our next club that we'll talk about. Leicester are 11-2. Newcastle are 9-2. And Newcastle are the most interesting team amongst these, even more than Sunderland, because of what's happening at the club, Paul. I mean, it's something different every day at the moment, just at the wrong time. We know about the long losing streak. We know, obviously, about the interim coach, John Carver, what he said about his players last week. We've had crisis meetings. We've had rumours that they've tried to get Steve McLaren for the last few games of the season. A lot of people in the betting world saying they can't see Newcastle getting another point. To add to that, the fact that Cisse was banned for all those games. They incorrectly, in the end, sent him away for surgery during that ban, thinking that they were safe. Yeah. And although he is training, he's nowhere near going to be match fit.
He's not going to be match fit by the end of this, by you know, the three remaining games that they've got, which is, you know, absolutely ludicrous state of affairs. I mean, actually, the club deserves everything that they've got. Not the fans, not the players, but the club itself, you know, from the hierarchy, and the hierarchy have to look at themselves. You know, they thought they were a comfortable mid-table position when they let Alan Pardew go to Crystal Palace. They thought it was all going to be plain sailing. They brought in a man in John Carver who is clearly... bleeds black and white, but is utterly out of his depth as a Premier League manager. He's fought with the players. He's fought with the supporters. If you remember the confrontations that they had, and I think Southampton was the last time when he sort of went, you know, nose to nose with a Newcastle supporter. The players have abdicated all sense of responsibility, but they're not helped by the fact that a manager has no sense of man management. In making things public that he might well have kept in the dressing room, i.e. the Mike Williamson situation. He's publicly said that nobody deserves a place in the team apart from Jack Colback and Tim Krul. What does that do, you know, when you've got to go in? Yes, players have got to be taken to task. You can't give players an easy ride. If you actually give a player an inch, he'll take a mile. But the bottom line is, there are times and places to have a rant. And if you're continually ranting and continually using the big stick, it doesn't go in. You know, the players it just washes over the players. Oh yeah, John Carver having another rant. And I mean, this is John Carver who fought with Craig Bellamy, who had basically is a pugnacious character. He's not suited for man management. And anybody at Newcastle. And actually being a manager, and anybody at Newcastle who thought he was deluded at the outset, and has been found to be absolutely negligent in their job subsequently.
I don't know if you've seen the. I only caught it very quickly before we started talking. The press conference.
Yeah, he says he described himself as the best coach in the Premier League.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
I think that's absolutely wonderful.
Paul, if you're sat in that press conference, you can't write that down quick enough, can you?
I use the word deluded appropriately where Newcastle are concerned, but deluded in every sense of the word.
I'm also failing to keep count of how many open letters have been written in the North East this season. I think we're up to four.
Never been a fan of an open letter.
No.
It's much better actually to do your job and play well than write nice words to the fans.
Do you think they'll go down? I mean, they've got West Brom, they've got home, QPR away, West Ham at home. I mean, they are ideal fixtures because West Brom and West Ham, seasons are finished with. QPR, they're down.
West Brom, you look at the defensive performance that West Brom had against Manchester United. Mm. Utterly disciplined, and they've got the likes of Berahino, who could have a reign of terror with a balloon on a stick amongst Newcastle's defence. I think they will lose at home to West Brom. I think they may get a point against QPR, and I think they'll lose on the last day of the season to West Ham.
Interesting. That would leave Newcastle with 36 points. We finish off with Aston Villa. I think, you know, that Aston Villa are priced up at 16-1 to go down now. You know, yeah. Fantastic job that Tim Sherwood's done. I mean, you know, they've got a cup final to come as well. Aston Villa, 35 points. They should really just creep over the line, shouldn't they? At the very least, they may even do it. You may actually look back at this table at the end of the season, Paul, and look at Villa on, you know, maybe over 40 points the way they've been playing recently.
Yeah, they've got home to West Ham at the weekend. Yeah. As you say, West Ham. Well, West Ham want to finish in the top 10. I think they're ninth at the moment. I mean, Sam Allardyce was set a task at the start of the season to finish in the top 10, to finish with a positive goal difference for the first time for many, many years at West Ham. And he's at the moment on course to achieve all those targets that were set by the owners. Whether that still keeps him in his job, goodness only knows. But I think West Ham have still got a little bit of something to play for. You know, where they were at Christmas, I think fourth, fifth at Christmas, and they've ducked away since then. But I still think that they've got something in them. I see that as a draw at Villa Park at the weekend, and I think that point will be enough to keep Aston Villa up.
Let's have a look at the TV games that we haven't talked about this weekend. The first one is Everton Sunderland, which we've already covered. Crystal Palace versus Manchester United at 5:30 on Saturday is an intriguing game. Mainly because, you know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, where Man United are now. They seem to either be, it seems to be either feast or famine with Man United this season, doesn't it?
I'm perplexed by Manchester United. When they had their best results, they were playing the team that most people thought they should be, Louis van Gaal should be playing, with the players in the positions that they should be playing. When he changes it around, it's almost like he's trying to, whether he's trying to prove something to himself, whether he's trying to prove something to the players. But, you know, Palace is not an easy place to go to when you're on the back of three defeats on the bounce. I think this is a draw for Manchester United, and I think there are lots of questions still to be answered. You know, you look at the $30 million they've just agreed to spend on Memphis Depay, and you wonder whether that's $30 million well spent. I looked at him in the World Cup, and I wasn't overly impressed. You know, he started a lot of games from the bench, so I don't know. Obviously, Van Gaal knows him, but I think £30 million is a lot of money to spend. I like Palace. I don't like trying to get to Selhurst Park, but I like the atmosphere at Selhurst Park when I get there. And I think that will be a draw.
Manchester City take on QPR on Sunday. QPR, as we've already said, are all but down.
Yeah.
And Man City, you know, they're still not particularly convincing, but one man who is Sergio Aguero, scored first in his last three games. And he's Joe Hart and maybe Milner, probably the three players who, when I watch Man City, I still think they're giving absolutely everything, Paul.
Yeah, and Milner possibly going to go in the summer.
He's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, Aguero, I'd agree with you. You know, I think at the start, after the first half a dozen games of the season, you would have thought this is going to be a candidate for our Football Writers Association Footballer of the Year award. You know, the goals that he scored, without them, where would Manchester City be? But you cast your mind back a couple of seasons to this equivalent game, where, you know, City needed desperately to get something to win the title. QPR needed something to stay up. Now, you know, it's something of a nothing game, isn't it? I think City win fairly comfortably. I think QPR have been a mess most of the season, not been helped by the fact that Chris Ramsey, who I like immensely, hasn't been able to sort of stamp his authority on proceedings at Loftus Road, despite the fact that he had, you know, quite a few games towards the end of the season. It's almost a nothing game, but I take City to win by a couple of goals.
The 4 o'clock game is Chelsea versus Liverpool, the champions in their first game since lifting the trophy. Since being awarded the trophy, I suppose. Yeah, Chelsea are 11-8, incidentally, to win the Premier League in 2015-2016.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see how Mourinho approaches this. I was quite taken by his interview after the Crystal Palace win. He looked shattered, and he actually said, "I'm very tired. I need a rest." I wonder if he'll send his players out with a bit more freedom now and just say, "Just look, go and enjoy the last few games of the season."
Yeah, but I think he's still on course. You know, I mean, there might be an element of that. The players themselves might play with a little bit more freedom, knowing now that the job's done. But they'll want to, you know, they'll want to keep up this incredible run since New Year's Day, and I think that I don't think Liverpool have got very much to play for. Yes, I guess sort of mathematically they could still get that fourth place, but it doesn't look very likely. I think Chelsea might just put on a little bit of a show.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's what Mourinho will want, he would be quite happy with a 1-0, I guess. But yeah, I think there's a, you know, everybody talks about this Chelsea side. As being boring and pragmatic. If you look at their goal record, I think they only need to score another four goals over the last three games to have scored as many as the Arsenal Invincibles did when they went unbeaten in that season.
Yeah.
And everybody hails that Arsenal Invincible team as one of the great teams of all time. So,
yeah.
You know, they're not... You know, I've never bought into Chelsea boring. I've bought into Chelsea as dynamic, as efficient, as muscular, as sometimes pragmatic, but never, ever boring.
No, and it wouldn't be a big surprise if they finish with having scored the most goals, having conceded the fewest as well.
Yeah.
At the minute, they've got 69. Man City have got 71. They've conceded 27. Now Southampton are starting to drift a little bit. They've conceded 28 as well. So,
well, I think And I think if Chelsea win all their remaining three matches, they only finish 3 points away from the record points haul in the Premier League of all time.
Yeah, indeed. Finally, on Monday night, Arsenal versus Swansea. Arsenal third as we go into the weekend, on joint on 70 points with Man City, but with an inferior goal difference. Swansea have done fantastically well, haven't they, Paul?
Yeah.
Eighth position. That's probably where they'll stay unless Southampton do really drop off.
Yeah.
What's not to like about Swansea's season, really? I've written them off far too many times this season. The fact that they've won 15 games as well, which is two more than anyone else below them. You know, that's good going. 15 wins is quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, and they still play some very very good football despite having lost. You know, a lot of the times their best players. You know, people like Wilfred Bonny obviously have gone to Manchester City. But they've got a style. They've always had a style, you know, all the way from, I guess, going back to, you know, Brendan Rodgers' time down at down in South Wales. And they've maintained that, and they play an attractive attacking style of football. I've got a great deal of time for Gary Monk, completely untried as a manager. Has certainly made his mark. He and Ronald Koeman, I think, have been, you know, outstanding in what they've achieved this season. And I like Swansea. I like Swansea as a club. I like the setup. I like the fan-owned sort of, you know, a huge impetus on fan joining in at boardroom level. Exactly. What's not to like about Swansea? I think they're absolutely top class. And it will be an open, attractive game, certainly at the Emirates. Arsenal, I think, are showing hallmarks of, if they get three players potentially at the outside, I think they need a new goalkeeper. I think they need somebody else in midfield and a kind of goal-scoring fox-in-a-box, a kind of Aguero type of player to play alongside Olivier Giroud. And I think that 11-8 for Chelsea, I think Arsenal could challenge that, you know.
Well, those full odds, Chelsea 11-8 for the title next season, Man City 11-4, Man United 4-1, Arsenal 5-1, Liverpool 16-1, and Tottenham 66.
Well, I think 5-1 for Arsenal before a ball's been kicked is, a nice, tasty little odds for that.
Yeah. Good weekend. A few non-games there, but some entertaining ones as well. Is there one that you would pick out, Paul, as your favourite bet of the week? One result that you think will happen?
Oh, I'm going to take Leicester to win by at least two clear goals against Southampton.
Interesting one. Yeah. So Leicester are 6-4 to win. If you're looking at basically the best way of doing it is taking the handicap. So Leicester -1 will give you a two-goal victory. That's 4-1.
Yeah, okay.
Very nice indeed.
Yeah,
I like it. Paul, thanks very much for your time.
Good to speak to you.
It's been a pleasure.
Take care, mate.
Thank you. Paul McCarthy, the Executive Secretary of the Football Writers Association. You can get this podcast at the footballwriters.co.uk website. It's also available on Audio Boom. You can go to iTunes and subscribe as well. And if you do that by visiting the music store and typing in William Hill Football, the podcast will be delivered to your phone, your tablet or your PC every single week. Thanks very much for listening. And if you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.